Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 42. Psalms, chapter 42, I'd like to read verses 1 and 2, where it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" Now, we're going to title the message tonight, "A Thirst for God." A Thirst for God. Now, David wrote of it here in Psalms 42 in the verses that I've just read. And he said that my soul thirsteth for God. And I'd like to begin the broadcast by asking you a question. Do you have a thirst, a craving for fellowship with God? I pray that you do. I think this is what it's basically speaking of in the context, a desire for fellowship with God. In Psalms 42, David was in a situation where he couldn't go to the house of God. He was in a wilderness perhaps somewhere, where he was away from the Lord, or away from the Lord's house, I should say, and unable to come and worship. He mentions in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I had went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept the holy day." So in the situation that he's in now, he's unable to go to God's house for some reason, unable to go to a place of public worship with the people of God. And he describes here a thirsting for God, desire for fellowship with Him, communion with Him, such as he had enjoyed in the past at God's house. So we're going to title the message this evening, as I said, "A Thirst for God." Now let's look at the beginning of the thirst. When does a thirst for God begin? And I believe it begins at salvation. I believe it begins with regeneration. Of course, regeneration is speaking of the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." This new birth, this being made alive, all this is referred to as regeneration. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. And then what the Holy Spirit did the day He saved our soul is He made us alive. And that's when the thirst for God began, is the day of our regeneration, the day that He brought about the new birth in us. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17, it says this, And the Spirit and the bride said, "Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Well, he speaks of the water of life, and the water of life, of course, is Jesus. When you come to Lord Jesus, you drink of him by receiving him. When you come to Lord Jesus, then drink of him, receive him, then that's the water of life. And the life that he gives you is eternal life. And Jesus spoke to the woman at the well of this water in John chapter 4. He said, "You drank of this water," talking about the water at the well that they were drawing from. "You drank this water, you'll thirst again, but you drank of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst." Jesus, of course, is the living water. You drink of him, he quenches what you're thirsty for. And it's only found in him. "You drink of this water, you'll thirst again. If you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst." You know, the world is seeking for things that satisfy. They go for riches and worldly fame and possessions to find joy. But my friend, things of the world doesn't quench your thirst. You need something that lasts forever. You need something that transcends the grave. You need something that's eternal, and that's only found in Jesus. So this thirst for God begins the day that he saves your soul. You know the reason why people don't come and drink of the water of life? You know the reason why people don't come and to the Lord Jesus for salvation? Because they're not thirsty. You won't come to the Lord until you're thirsty. And my friend, the Holy Spirit's the one that makes you thirsty. He does that in the new birth, in quickening. Says you were dead and he made you alive. Of course, the new birth of the Lord. He's the one that brings about the new birth in you, and you begin to thirst for God when that happens. And my friend, when you begin to thirst for God, you're not happy until you come and drink. I'm thankful to the Lord today that there was a day and a time in my life when the Holy Spirit made me thirsty for spiritual things, when the Holy Spirit made me thirsty for this water of life, this eternal life that He gives through Jesus Christ. But my friend, that thirst had a beginning, and it began in the new birth. And it was wrought in me by the Holy Spirit. And I came and drank. And I came and drank because He made me thirsty. Well, that's the beginning of this thirst for God. I remember the day that I was made thirsty. I remember the day the Lord began to deal with my heart and I wanted to be saved. John chapter 6 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And one of the ways He draws you is He makes you thirsty. You become dissatisfied with your life and with yourself and with worldly things. And you begin to see that the eternal things is what matters the most. And these were found in Jesus Christ. And then you come and drink of the water of life. That's the beginning of the thirst that this text is speaking of in Psalms chapter 42. David was thirsty for the Lord. It began the day that He saved your soul. Now, secondly, we talked about the beginning of the thirst, but the thirst is to continue. Let's talk about a continuing of the thirst. Of course, in Psalms 42, King David was already saved, and he was just away and couldn't get back to the house of God where he could go and experience public worship with the rest of the people of God. But the idea is that he had a continued thirst. I showed you that the thirst began the day that he saved your soul. But after you're saved, the thirst doesn't stop. You continue to have a thirst for him. After you're saved, you continue to want to come and drink. You desire to spend time with Him and fellowship with Him. You see, this continued thirst is what drives someone to want to come to God's house. David wanted to come to God's house because he had a continued thirst for God, desire for His fellowship, time with Him. My friend, that's what drives you to come to God's house faithfully. That's what drives you to seek Him in His Word. That's what drives you to want to communicate with Him through the means of prayer. So, you have a continued thirst after that you're saved. David spoke of his thirst in Psalm 63 also. Let me read that text to you. Psalm 63 and verse 1, it says, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where it no water is." Well, folks, there he describes his continued thirst. That thirst for God began and the new birth. It began at salvation. That's why you came to Him and drank. But once you come and drink of the water of life, the Lord Jesus, and once you are saved, you continue to have a thirst for Him, a desire to spend time with Him, a desire to have fellowship with Him, and that's why you come to His house. That's why you pray and seek His Word and fellowship and all these different things. The thirst is what drives all of that. And my friend, you must have a continued thirst. You know why people don't come to church? You know why people don't read their Bible or pray or fellowship with God's people? I can tell you why that is. Very easy. Then they're not thirsty. They had a thirst for spiritual things. If they had this continued thirst for spiritual things, then my friend, you would see them wanting to be at God's house, wanting to be in God's Word, wanting to be in prayer to the Lord. All these things you would see, but my friends, sometimes what happens is people's thirst is not what it once was. There is kind of a declining. There is a declining of the thirst. Sometimes people indeed do that. And that's one of the signs of being out of fellowship with the Lord, is that your thirst isn't what it used to be. Oh, it's exciting, my friend, to see people come and drink of the water of life in salvation. But my friend, it's even more exciting to see that thirst continue after that they make their profession of faith And then see that there's evidence by them coming faithfully to the house of God and serving God and desiring the Lord and fellowship with Him. It's wonderful to see that continued thirst. But oh, my friend, it's a sad thing when you see that thirst decline in people. And one of the things that one of the ways it shows itself is, again, you see them begin to not be as interested in the things of God as they once were. That you see that thirst decline. It's not what it was. And you know what happens? What's one of the causes of this? This declining of the thirst? People get distracted. They get distracted on other things. And what happens when they get distracted is they begin to set aside the things of the Lord, the things that they need to do. And as they stop doing those things, then they begin to get weak. And they begin to get what I like to call spiritually dehydrated. Are you spiritually dehydrated? There are some evidences of that. I looked up physical dehydration, the signs of physical dehydration. And here's the signs of it. Weakness, irritability, no tears, and a person's countenance changes. That's physical dehydration. Well, folks, a person can get spiritually dehydrated. Their thirst for God can decline. And once they quit coming and drinking and fellowshipping with the Lord, then they get spiritually dehydrated. And you know what? The signs of spiritual dehydration are the same. They get weak. People don't come and drink and fellowship with the Lord. Then what happens over time is they will get very weak. Weakness is a sign of spiritual dehydration. It's weakness spiritually. More prone to falling. More prone to sin. They get weak. Stop doing the things they need to do in order to stay strong. They get weak. Number two, to get irritable. You know, when you're close to the Lord, you're happy. When you're coming continually and drinking of the water of life by fellowshipping with Him, it gives you joy. One of the keys to joy is fellowship with the Lord. After that, you're born again. After you're truly born again, the things of the world don't have the same satisfaction that they once did to you. After you're born again, the things of the Lord is what satisfies you. The things of the Lord is what gives you joy. My friend, when you get spiritually dehydrated and you're not coming and drinking of the water of life in fellowship, after that you've been born again, then not only do you get weak, but you get irritable. You lose your joy. My friend, a Christian that's out of fellowship with the Lord is not only weak, but they can be very irritable. They can be kind of downright hateful to you. Why is that? Because they're unhappy. Because they've lost their joy. And my friend, when someone has a decline of their thirst for the Lord, there's always a convenient reason or an excuse to use to try to hide the real reason why they're not coming. Or why they're not studying the Bible. Or why they're not serving the Lord. There's always a good excuse for it. My friend, the real excuse, the real reason why they've stopped coming and fellowshipping with the Lord is they've lost their thirst, isn't what it was. They're spiritually dehydrated. They don't desire fellowship with the Lord like they once did. And one of the signs is not only weakness, but number two, it's irritability. Number three, no tears. Oh, when you're close to the Lord and you're coming and drinking daily of the water of life in fellowship, it makes you very sensitive, Lord, very sensitive. To spiritual things. Often, sometimes you'll shed tears or the things of the Lord touch you very deeply. Sometimes you can hear a song and it'll bring you to tears. Sometimes you can hear a message from His Word and it'll bring you to tears. Makes you real sensitive sometimes when you're close to the Lord. My friend, those tears dry up when you're not close to Him. You wax cold and indifferent and you lose your tears. So weakness is a sign of being spiritually dehydrated. Weakness spiritually, irritability, lose your joy, lose your sensitivity towards spiritual things, you lose your tears, and your countenance changes. You know, when a person has a joyful heart, they'll have a joyful countenance. And when you're close to Jesus, when you're having close fellowship with Him, you're spending time daily with Him, you're walking with Him, it gives you a cheerful countenance. And you enjoy your life more. You have more peace. You have more happiness because you're close to the King. My friend, when you're spiritually dehydrated, your countenance will change. I've seen that many times in people. I've seen people that have been close to the Lord and coming and fellowshipping with God and faithfully coming to His house and reading His Word and fellowshipping with His people. And I've seen their countenance be happy and joyful, but I've seen them decline in these things. And then it's like talking to a different person. My friend, do you show signs of spiritual dehydration? Has your thirst for God declined? Is it not what it should be? What do you need to do about that? Well, it begins with just going to the Lord in prayer, acknowledging to Him that you've drifted and yet your thirst is not what it once was. And confess your sin of that. And go back and do your first works back in His house. Set apart a time daily to spend time with Jesus, where you can come and drink of Him and fellowship with Him. You know, and then what will happen is you'll get hydrated spiritually. You'll notice your strength will come back. You'll notice you'll have more joy and your sensitivity will change and your countenance will even change. You won't even have to go tell people in the church that this has happened. They'll be able to tell. They'll start seeing you more. They'll see your joy has changed. My friend, if your thirst has declined, that's what you need to do. You've got distracted on other things. And my friend, those other things won't satisfy your thirst. In the book of Luke chapter 10 is an example. Let me turn there real fast. Mary and Martha, I've read it many times in the radio broadcast. Jesus goes to Mary and Martha's house. Of course, Lazarus was her brother. And he goes there for dinner. And Martha was busy preparing the meal, which was a good work. She was doing a good thing. She received Jesus into her house. That was a good thing. Preparing a meal of course, when Jesus came to your house, often had 12 friends with Him. So this could have been a very large task for her. Let's go ahead and read the text. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, here's a good example of a decline of the thirst and the fruit of the decline. You'll notice in the context that Martha was doing a good work, but the fact of the matter was the King of Glory was sitting right there in her house, and she wasn't enjoying any fellowship with Him at all. She was so distracted by preparing the meal, she was so distracted by doing the work, that she was failing to spend personal time with Jesus. She was failing to come to the water of life and just sit down and fellowship with Him and enjoy His company and enjoy His presence. Notice how irritable she is. Notice how her countenance had changed. You see, what she needed, instead of being distracted on these other things, she should have sat at Jesus' feet along with Mary. That's what we need to do. Go and sit at Jesus' feet. Come to His house and listen to His word. Open up your Bible daily and begin to get back into it and read it. Spend time with those who have a spiritual thirst. If you run with those that if you run with people that claim to be saved, that have also a decline of their spiritual thirst, that's not a good person to run with. You need to run with those that are thirsty. To run with those that will encourage you to serve Him and spend time with Him and be a good example to follow. My friend, you need to go and sit at Jesus' feet. Notice how miserable Martha was. Mary had chosen that good part, the Lord Jesus said. And you know what? Jesus will spend as much time with you as you want to spend. There's no question on His part whether to spend time with you or not. My friend, He loves you. If you've trusted Him as your Savior, you're His child. And He wants to spend time with His child. But my friend, has your thirst declined? Remember what the entitlement of the message is, a spiritual thirst. We talked about when this thirst began. Thirst began at salvation. The Holy Spirit made you thirsty. That's why you came and drank. The thirst is to continue, though. We're to continue then to, after that, to come and have fellowship with the Lord. But then we talked about how sometimes that thirst can decline as we get distracted sometimes by earthly, worldly things. We can cease to come and drink like we once did. And then the result of that is spiritual dehydration. Now, I want to address one other thing. Let's talk about no thirst. No thirst at all. And there is a lot of folks that have come and they have made professions of faith in Jesus. And then what happens is they continue for a while and then they just seem to go to the world. They just stop. They show no thirst whatsoever for spiritual things. I mentioned that the thirst for God will continue once you've had a new birth, but these folks show no desire for spiritual things at all. They have a profession, but they don't have a thirst. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. There's something wrong when that happens. I've been showed you that sometimes people get out of fellowship and the thirst declines, but people that are truly born again will be miserable in that. They won't be happy till they're back where they need to be, back in fellowship with the Lord. But there is a people that make professions of faith that never really have had a thirst for God after that. They trust Jesus mainly for a fire escape. They want to be saved from hell, but at the same time, they don't want to serve the Lord at all. They don't want no fellowship with Him. They don't want to spend time with Him. They have a thirst for worldly things, but they don't have no desire for spiritual things. And they really never did whatsoever. And that's sad to see that people that way. And what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? Well, I think they have a dead faith. Look at James chapter 2. It describes people that have made a profession of faith, but then they don't have any works. Now, works isn't a cause of your salvation. Faith in Jesus is why you're saved. But my friend, a true, genuine faith in Christ will produce a change in a person's life. You see, you've had a new birth. That's why the book of 2 Corinthians says, I believe it's chapter 5, that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You have a new interest when you're saved, when you're born again, new desires. You're focus on life changes, the way you look at things changes, and your life changes. Many people have a dead faith, I believe. They have a profession, but at the same time, they just don't have no thirst for God whatsoever. They wouldn't like heaven, would they? I mean, we're going to be fellowshipping with Him forever. We're going to be serving Him forever. And when you've had a new birth, that's just fine with you, is it not? Man, I look forward to heaven so I can spend time with Him. That's one of the great things about heaven, is being able to be with Him. Always. My friend, if you don't have a thirst for Him now, then that's a sign you've really not had a new birth. You're either lost or out of fellowship one. My friend, you need to get your thirst back, or you need to make sure you're saved. You need to make your, as the Scripture says, your election and your calling sure. You need to examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. But if you don't thirst for Him, and that's an evidence, my friend, that something is desperately wrong. When you're saved, nothing satisfies like Christ. Nothing gives you joy like the Master does. And you desire to spend company and you desire to spend time with Him. Have you never had a thirst for Him? Did you make a profession maybe 20 or 25 or 30 or 40 years ago? But as you look at your life, if people will look at, back over these past years, you will see more of a track record of worldly things and the desire for worldly things, but no desire for spiritual things. It's a sign you don't have a thirst. One of the reasons, one of the scriptures is very sad in the book of 2 Timothy 4. There was a man by the name of Demas, and he was a companion of Paul on his missionary trips. But when you looked at him in the latter part of 2 Timothy, Paul said this about Demas: Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He became thirsty for the things of the world instead of thirsty for the things of God. Disciples indeed show themselves by continuing. John 8:44 says, no, it's in John 8 somewhere. If you continue, then ye are my disciples indeed. If you continue, that's John 8:31. If you continue, then ye are my disciples indeed. That thirst drives you. That new birth, that thirst that God put in your heart the day that He saved you, drives you to want to have fellowship with Him. Drives you to want to be with Him in glory. Well, folks, that's a spiritual thirst. Do you have one? We showed you when it began. It began in a new birth. We showed you, number two, it should continue. That new birth produces a change and a continual thirst to come and drink and have fellowship with Him. We showed you how sometimes that thirst declines because we get distracted on worldly things. And then we address the issue, number four, of no thirst at all. Which one of those camps that you do you fall under today? My friend, if you're not thirsty, and maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart, Jesus says, come and drink.